I want us to think about what we're about here and partaking of the Lord's table, not as an addendum to worship added on, but a continuation of our time of worship. I've thought often that it might be good just to begin our time of worship with the Lord's table and continue on through the preaching of the word. But whether it be at the beginning or what we call the end, this is an act of worship. And it is for those whom the Lord has taught by his grace that there is salvation in none other but the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And that's why the Lord has given us these two emblems. These are not sacraments. That's a word that religion has developed, where the word sacrament has the word sacred in it. Now, the person that these elements represent is sacred, no question. But you can take this bread and put it on the lips of a dead man, it can't give life. You can take this cup and pour it in the mouth of a dead man, it does not give life. Life is in the one that the bread and the cup represent. And that's why when the Lord gave this instruction, even as we sang, "Lord, we remember you." Now, we need his remembering us. That's what's important. But at the same time, as I said, this is an act of worship, a declaration of Christ. So this is not a ritual that we go through. When people ask me, they will sometimes say, "Well, can I partake of what they call communion or the Lord's table?" Well, are you the Lord's or not? What kind of hope has he given you in his person and in his shed blood? I know there's certain congregations that want to protect this table as if it belongs to them. Back in the old days, they used to have on Saturday lineups where members would come sit in front of the preacher and he would examine them literally and determine whether or not they could partake or not. And he made the decision. This is not man's table. It's the Lord's table. Now, do we treat it lightly? I know there's some that accuse and say, "Well, you're just giving liberty to people. How do you know? How do you know?" I don't want to be the judge. But the Lord knows those that are his. Thankful that's the case. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, actually one of the clearest portions of scripture on the Lord's table that we find in the New Testament begins with a warning of the abuse of it. Because Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:17 says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse." It's possible to come together, even as we do now, but for the worse, not having our attention and focus on Christ. Anytime our eyes are off of Christ, it's for the worst. We don't look around and try to figure out, "Well, why is that person partaking? Why?" Let each examine himself is what we're going to see in this particular portion of Scripture. But just like so many, left to ourselves, anything with regard to Christ put in man's hand, he's going to pervert it. And that's what the Corinthian church was doing. They thought, "Well, since we're coming together anyway, and we have to eat, let's go ahead and have this a love feast." That's what they called an agape feast. So each one brought their food, and somewhere in the middle of all that, they tried to celebrate the Lord's table. Paul says here, first of all, in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 11, "When you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." I always chuckle when I read that, because we should be more surprised that the Lord gives us unity versus the fact that there are divisions. Because you stop and look around this room right now is full of wretched, putrid sinners, myself included. And were it not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be a stench before God Almighty. So it shouldn't surprise us. It ought to surprise us when the Lord gives us such unity and peace. And I'm thankful he has in this congregation. But it's not me. It's not my leadership. It's preaching Christ. I've had people ask me over the years, well, do you have a discipline? You discipline people? I tell them the gospel disciplines them. If they're not the Lord's, they're not going to last long here. I've had people say that, go out that door and say, is this all we're going to hear? Christ, Christ, Christ. That's exactly right. Well, that gospel just disciplined somebody, exposed them. They come in looking for other things. Guess what? Christ, Christ, Christ. Not just any Christ, but the Christ of God in his glory. Every part of what we do in singing, in worship, even the Lord's table is to his honor and glory. But Paul, I love his answer. It doesn't surprise me I hear of divisions. That's because that's what happens when sinners get together. And the Lord gives you a taste of who you are as a sinner. Were it not for his grace, we'd all be devouring one another. That's what legalism does. It gets people looking on each other, measuring up to their standard. No, there's only one standard, it's Christ. And we're either in him and his righteousness before God, or we have no righteousness. But here, when it says in verse 19, there must be. God's purposed even the divisions. Here's the reason why, because when the word heresies is used here, it's in the sense of division. Each person taken aside. How many times have we seen that in religious organizations? Choosing up sides. But here it says God, when it says there must be, that's an imperative. There must be why? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Who are the approved? That's those in Christ. Wherein do they stand? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So when you come together, therefore, into one place, he said, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. The word sup has the indication in that word to sup with somebody is to fellowship with them. It's not just talking about a particular time of day. This has to do with fellowship with Christ. But here, when you come together into one place, even as we are right now in one place, he says, the purpose is not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not why you're coming. For in eating, everyone taketh before other of his own supper. So this indicates that they were bringing in food, a fellowship meal. You ever been part of those? They call it a fellowship meal. There's no fellowship. Not really talking about Christ. It's everything but. Here they were tasting. Notice. Each is eating his own supper. They're not even wanting to eat whatever somebody else has brought. I'm going to eat mine. Thank you very much. And one is hungry and another is what? Drunken. It became, wine was served at these meals, but it got to where they were hooting it up, drinking. And so Paul says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? A lot of people want to bring different programs in that we need to be intermingling more. There's plenty of opportunity for social activity outside of worship. When we come together, we're to sit down at the Lord's table, whether it's the actual physical table or whether it's feasting on Christ, the bread of life, drinking of him, the wine, and the message of the gospel. That's our purpose for coming together. We got plenty of time to eat and drink and enjoy one another's presence outside of here. But despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. There were some that had to work and clean up the dishes and got there late. Maybe didn't even have something to bring. And by the time they got there, everything had been eaten and everybody was drunk. That's why Paul said he said that to their shame. But here's the simplicity of what we're about here. I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. I love that. Let me just tell you plainly, how simple this is, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and that word is unleavened bread. It's like what I'm holding here, no leaven in it. Christ had no sin in him. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. There it is, this do in remembrance of me." That's the sum of what it is to take this bread and to eat it. It's in remembrance of Christ. So as we do, let our heart and mind be on Christ. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after that, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Both are necessary for us to see the person of Christ and the bread, unleavened bread, and the work of Christ and his shed blood. That's what is our representation before a holy God. "For as often as ye eat this bread," he says in verse 26, "and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Remember I said that at the beginning. This is a proclamation of faith. It's a declaration. That word "show" means actually to preach. By partaking, I'm declaring, I'm preaching the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do so till he come. I'm thankful he's coming again to receive unto himself everyone that he has redeemed and justified through his shed blood. That's what we're about, to remember him. Well, let's thank the Lord and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for the clear declaration of your word as to what this is about. This is your table. And that if we're enabled to partake, it's only because of your mercy and grace. And that in partaking, we do one thing, to remember the death of your Son. So we give him all the praise and honor and glory, and pray that you'd give us hearts ever to remember him. And it's in his precious name I pray. Amen.